Hello and welcome to episode number 25 of the AFTV Newscast. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, which is pretty much the biggest Fire TV news related website on the internet. And this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. This is being recorded February 5th, 2016. Got a whole bunch of great news and stories to talk about. A lot of big Fire TV news with the new 5.0.5 software update rolling out to pretty much all devices. We'll talk about that in detail, what new features are included that we didn't know about before. Also, a lot of Alexa news going on right now, a lot of new skills being added. Talk about that. And then I noticed in the Q&A section, first question is somebody asking about RBox's pre-rooted ROM for the new devices, the new 5.0.5 update. So got some podcast exclusive news here. I haven't even posted about this yet, so I'll talk about that update and when we can expect it and how it's going to work. So I stream the podcast live every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. People are welcome to watch live, but of course I always put it up the day after on Saturdays in audio podcast form through an RSS feed on iTunes, on TuneIn, on Stitcher, pretty much all the big places you can find podcasts, you'll find it. And then of course the video version is always up on YouTube also, youtube.com/AFTVnews. That's where you can find that. Really appreciate people to hit that like button if they are watching this on YouTube, if they do like the episode, that is. All right, let's go ahead and get right into the news. So big story of the week, of course, is that FireOS 5.0.5 software update is starting to roll out this week to pretty much all devices. That includes first-gen Fire TVs. Finally, those are getting updated from FireOS 3 to FireOS 5. Those haven't seen an update, I think, since, was it September, I think, the last time the first-gen devices got updated. The update's also rolling out to the older Fire TV sticks that shipped with the non-voice remote. And it looks like the second-gen Fire TV and the newer Fire TV sticks are all also getting this software update. So I haven't seen anybody mention that they got the software update on the second-gen Fire TV yet, but Amazon has posted on their source code page where they actually, how, you know, kind of are forced to put out the source code since Android is open source, at least part of it is. So they have to put out their source code whenever they push out an update. And this is usually a good indication of which devices are being updated and when. And so they just updated this page, I believe this morning or last night. And so as you can see here, if you're watching the video version, the second gen Fire TV, the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV stick all have the 5.0.5 source code posted to them on the page. And so that's pretty good indication that all the devices are now finally going to be on the same playing field. They're all going to be on the same software version. They're all going to have the same feature set. So really great to see that Amazon's finally getting everything up to speed, and it looks like they've finally gotten over all the issues that they were having. This software update, version 5.0.5, it's still rolling out slowly this week. I myself actually have not received it yet, so only a few devices so far have received it. For those who don't know, who might not be aware, the way Amazon does the software updates for the Fire TVs and the Fire TV sticks is they roll them out slowly just to make sure that there aren't any issues. And if there are issues, they'll put a stop to the update and then fix it and then start rolling out a new version. And so your place in line of when you get this software update is pretty much fixed. So if you get software updates early, by you I mean the actual device, because it's not linked to your account. It's actually linked to the serial number of the device. And so based on where your device falls in line, it's always going to fall in the same line. So if your Fire TV gets software updates early, it pretty much will always get software updates early. But if your Fire TV gets software updates very late, say maybe a week after everybody else just started getting them, then your Fire TV will pretty much always get them late. There's really no way to force the update. You can force a check for the update, but the Fire TV pretty much does periodic checks on its own. So forcing a check will only, you know, speed things up maybe a few hours. You know, it basically just means if your Fire TV is ready to receive the update, but it just happens to not have checked for it yet, it'll receive it. But doing that software check, which is in the settings about section, sorry, it's actually settings system about, in that menu, you'll see at the very bottom, there's a check for updates. And so clicking that basically just checks to see if it's your turn yet. It doesn't actually force the update. So again, only a few people have received it so far. So don't be alarmed or don't be worried if you haven't received it yet. I've lost count. I've got about 11 or 12 Fire TV devices in my testing pool, all with different software versions, you know, all different scenarios, some rooted, some not. Basically, none of them have received this update yet. So again, it's still very early on. I think Amazon is rolling this one out maybe a little slower than usual because it is a massive change from FireOS 3 to FireOS 5. So I'll put a link in the show notes to an article that I wrote, basically titled Everything You Need to Know About FireOS 5. You know, so if you're curious to know what this update is bringing, and that article basically has all the stuff that we knew was being added in FireOS 5 prior to the update rolling out. But now that the update has actually, you know, started rolling out and some people have received it, I've been in contact with a few people that have actually received the update already. They've thankfully sent me a whole bunch of screenshots, a whole bunch of information since I haven't actually received it yet. There's actually one person who are a big thanks to him. I think, what's his name? Gary. Yeah, Gary, his Fire TV, man, he has a first-gen Fire TV, and I swear it's probably the first one that gets these updates because he gets these updates like almost a week before I hear anybody else get these updates. So thankfully, I'm in touch with him and he always contacts me whenever he gets these updates. Other than my contacts at Amazon letting me know about an upcoming update, he's pretty much the first one that finds out about these updates just because his Fire TV updates so early. Let's go ahead and move on to what this software update has added and new features that it's brought. So again, check the show notes for that Everything About FireOS 5 update article for the majority of the changes that the update is bringing, mainly being Alexa, so the older first-gen Fire TVs and the older Fire TV sticks that didn't ship with a voice remote. Those are all now receiving the Alexa update. Another nice feature is that the older Fire TV sticks are now going to be able to connect to additional Bluetooth devices like Bluetooth speakers, Bluetooth headsets, Bluetooth keyboards, and mice. So the Fire TV has had that ability for a long time, but the Fire TV stick is only gaining it now with FireOS 5. So apart from what's included in that article and apart from Alexa and apart from all those features that I talked about last week in last week's episode, we're finding out some new features that we didn't know about that are actually in this FireOS 5.0.5 update. And again, these features are going to be on pretty much all devices since all the devices are receiving this update. So the first big change that we didn't know about is the addition of pretty much native add-on subscription service support. So if you remember, near the end of December or so, Amazon announced that they're adding add-on subscriptions for Prime Video. And so if you're a Prime member, you can add additional content by subscribing monthly to about 31 or so various subscriptions. So when Amazon added the new add-on subscription options, the Fire TV sort of kind of supported it. You could view all of the content that you subscribe to if you just searched for it. It would all just play as if you owned it, but there was no real way on the Fire TV to actually browse your subscriptions and browse a specific subscription's content. For those who aren't aware, by subscription, I mean you can subscribe to Showtime, Stars, Smithsonian has a subscription. There are a whole bunch. Acorn TV. There are some like horror movie, only horror movie specific subscriptions. There's like about 31 of them. I'll put a link in the show notes to my breakdown of all of the subscriptions if you want to see them all listed on one page and get an idea of what's available. But with this 5.0.5 software update, you can now browse your specific subscriptions. So if you go into the subscription section, which I'll talk about in the next article, basically, in the next topic where these subscriptions kind of live. But once you actually dive into a subscription, each subscription has its own page, essentially, you know, almost like a full screen where they highlight content that's from that subscription. So if you're watching the video version, you can see that I'm showing here a screenshot of the Showtime subscription page. So they've got a row for Showtime series, so basically original Showtime series. They've got a row for Showtime movies, a row for Showtime TV shows. And so just a good way to uncover some of that subscription content. For example, for Showtime, I think there's about 500 or so movies and TV shows that are available through that subscription. And so it's you know, good to know that there's a way now on the Fire TV to actually find the content that you're paying extra for. In addition to actually finding the content, you can now subscribe through the Fire TV. Whereas before, whenever you went to a subscription content, it would basically just put up a page and tell you to go to Amazon.com through a regular web browser and subscribe there, and that would unlock the content. But now, just through the Fire TV, you can see the price of the different subscriptions. You can see the free trial that's available. available, and every single subscription offers a free trial of some sort. I believe the smallest one is a 5-day free trial. Most of them are 7 days or up. Some of them, I think, as much as 30-day free trial. You can see that all now on the Fire TV. You could do it through the Fire TV. It doesn't look like there's a way to cancel through the Fire TV, but I'll put a link in the show notes. I wrote an article on how easy it is to cancel these subscriptions. It's literally like three clicks. It's just from the homepage, you click down into your subscriptions. From there, you just click cancel, and then you confirm the cancel, and you're done. It's very simple. So, I definitely suggest if you see something that's available and you haven't subscribed to a add-on subscription, go ahead and do the free trial. You can cancel it, in a snap, pretty much. So in addition to the different dedicated subscription pages, when you're actually browsing around content on the Fire TV now, you'll see different buttons that offer you to view that content through a subscription. And on the button, they'll actually tell you what subscription it is, like Showtime or Stars or whatever it is. And it'll tell you what the free trial is. So if you search for a movie and you see your different options, you can buy it, you can rent it, or you can stream it through a subscription, for example. For the most part, it actually seems like they are favoring the subscription option to the purchasing and renting option. So, when you see the movie page on the Fire TV, you have all the different buttons at the bottom with different ways to watch it, essentially. And at the very end, there'll be like a more ways to watch option that pretty much lists everything in one little pop-up screen. You could see it here on the video version if you're watching. Usually you'll end up, if a content is not included in Amazon Prime, usually the renting and the buying buttons will be front and center. But it seems like now Amazon is kind of pushing this subscription option even more, which makes sense, because usually for the price of purchasing a movie, or sometimes even for the price of renting the movie, you can add the subscription and get basically that same content for the whole month and much more for your money. So it makes sense that they're pushing the add-on subscription if the content is available within a subscription. All right, the other big change that FireOS 5.0.5 is bringing to the Fire TV is actually a bit of consolidation in the Fire TV's main menu. So there's a new section on the main menu called Your Videos, and it actually lives just after the Home section. So basically in the menu, you've got Home, then Your Videos, and then it goes to TV shows, movies, games, apps, music, photos, etc. Basically, this new Your Videos section is essentially a central place where you'll find all the content that is pretty much included either with Prime or with a subscription or with a third-party app that's free, like Crackle, for example. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's basically, you can consider it as a screen with content that you don't have to pay more for. So the renting and the buying is not going to be on this screen, but content you can get in other ways. So merged into this new Your Videos section of the Fire TV is what used to be the Prime Video section that used to have its own dedicated section. There used to be a watch list section, and there used to be a Your Library section. And so all three of those are now in this one Your Videos section, which to me is sounds like a great idea, because that Fire TV menu just kept growing and growing. And with the addition of the add-on subscriptions, I thought they would probably add another one that said subscriptions, and then you could see all of your subscribed content there. And so it would have grown even more. So I like this new screen, but it looks like all of the Prime sections that were in that previous Prime Video section of the Fire TV are included in this Your Videos screen. So it's just as easy to find Prime content as it was before. They seem to be at the very top also. So, all the recently added movies to Prime, recently added TV shows to Prime, most popular movies and TV shows from Prime, recommended movies and TV shows from Prime, all of those basically rows are included in this Your Video section. And so if you scroll down past those, then you'll get to the watch list section, which now it's not a dedicated screen, it's just a row. And so if you click into the row, then it'll go full screen as you'd expect. But it makes sense, since before this was basically just one row on its own menu. And so it makes a lot more sense here as a row as part of another Your Videos menu option. And then below the watch list is a Your Videos section, which basically includes all the videos you've purchased or rented from Amazon. So you'll find that there. And then scrolling down even further, there's actually a Crackle featured movies and TV. And for those who don't know, Crackle is a third-party app that has free content, basically. It's mostly ad-supported content. There's no subscription involved. And so since that content is essentially free, Amazon is including it here in the Your Video section because pretty much it's content you can access without paying extra for. And that seems like the general theme for this Your Video section. And then at the bottom of that, it looks like there's the Your Subscription section. Now, I don't know if that's going to just be cells for the different subscriptions. So like, say, for example, you're subscribed to Showtime Stars and Smithsonian, then the Your Subscription section will have three cells there. And so then you can click into the dedicated screens of each of those. I don't know if that's all it is, or if it actually is going to have separate rows for, you know, say movies from Showtime, TV shows from Showtime, you know, different ways of uncovering content. Again, I'm not completely positive. As always, once I do receive this update, I will dissect it fully and try to uncover every single little change that has happened since the previous updates. And I'll have a big overview post posted shortly, hopefully once I receive the update. But this is so far what we know about the major changes to the software update. And in my opinion, they look pretty good. They look like a step in the right direction. I would have loved to see some more customization configuration of this Your Video section, you know, maybe selecting which of these rows gets priority. You know, if I'm more interested in my library than in Prime Videos, for example, if, you know, it'd be nice if I could pick and select that to be at the top. But, you know, might be a little too much to ask for, but at least it does seem like Amazon's moving in the right direction with these changes to the Fire TV interface. All right, moving on to other news. Amazon announced pretty much this week that they're working with CBS to hopefully release the CBS Sports app for the Fire TV. Now, the Fire TV currently does not support the CBS Sports app. It is in the Amazon App Store, but it's only for tablets and smartphones, I believe. It's not compatible with the Fire TV. And the reason why that's important is because obviously this Sunday, if you're listening to this podcast before Sunday, is the big Super Bowl 50. And that's going to be streaming for free live through the CBS Sports app. And so Amazon is trying to get that app ready in time for Fire TV owners to be able to stream the Super Bowl. Right now, there's really no legal way other than through an antenna and specifically through a device like the Tableau or the HD Home Run. There's no way to stream the Super Bowl legally on the Fire TV. So Amazon says they're going to have the app ready in time, but they're cutting it really close. Right now, it's Friday evening. The app, last I checked, was not compatible. I checked it earlier this morning. And so maybe tomorrow we'll see it released. Maybe Sunday morning we'll see it released. But hopefully it will be released. One thing to point out is that CBS has one Fire TV app currently, and it's their CBS All Access app. And that's the one that gives you access to their subscription service if you want to stream all of their TV shows. That app is only compatible with Fire OS 5 devices. So there's a good chance that the CBS Sports app, when it does get released, is also going to be only compatible with Fire OS 5 devices. And since Fire OS 5 is rolling out slowly, there's a good chance that even if the CBS Sports app gets released in time for the Super Bowl, first-gen Fire TV owners that have not received the update might not be able to use this app or install it. Second-gen Fire TV owners and Fire TV sticks with voice remotes, most likely, you know, looks like 90% chance, it looks like Amazon will get this app out in time and those devices will be able to stream the Super Bowl, you know, live basically come this Sunday, February 7th. But it's a big question whether Fire TV first gen owners and the older Fire TV sticks are going to be able to also do that stream. All right, let's move on to some Alexa news. So it's been a huge week for Alexa. I talked about Alexa last week and why I said that come Super Bowl, we might actually see some big announcements come out of Alexa because Amazon is paying for an Amazon Echo Super Bowl ad. I think they're paying like $5 million for that ad. It's their first time creating a Super Bowl ad. I'll put a link in the show notes to that article about why I think we're going to see some big Alexa news. And, you know, sure enough, we've already gotten a lot of big Alexa news. So I mentioned last week how Amazon added the ability for developers to link in their own third-party service, their own third-party accounts in with an Alexa skill. And that addition came last week. And this week we're seeing a whole bunch of apps released that are basically using that feature and basically would not be possible without that feature. So it actually looks like Amazon contacted a lot of these bigger companies like Domino's and like Uber, which I'll talk about in a second. It seems like Amazon contacted them ahead of time, gave them a little preview of the upcoming Alexa API feature that lets you integrate third-party accounts in. And so it looks like they got these Alexa skills created and released in time for kind of maybe a big reveal at the Super Bowl. Not a big reveal of these skills, because we already know about them and a lot of different sites have been covering them. But maybe there's some more features coming, you know, come this Sunday that might be revealed in that Super Bowl ad. Specifically, like I mentioned last week, there's possibility for a mini Echo, basically a portable Amazon Echo, which is basically the size of a can of soda. It's going to be battery operated and be able to, you know, take it with you and use Alexa basically on the go if you've got a Wi-Fi connection. But one of the new features for Alexa that's available on both the Amazon Echo and the Fire TV this week is a new skill from Domino's that actually lets you order pizza using your voice. And so you can basically say, Alexa, open Domino's and place my easy order, and Alexa will place that order. And so easy order is basically what Domino's calls their pre-configured order. So you can create an account on Domino's.com and, you know, set up an order that you tend to order often, you know, the same order. And so once you have that pre-set up, you can just use Alexa to make that call. Of course, this is an Alexa skill, so it's not built into the Fire TV and the Amazon Echo by default. You have to actually go in to the Alexa app or alexa.amazon.com and enable the skill. But once it's enabled, you have access to that. If you have already placed the Domino's order, you can ask Alexa. You can say, Alexa, ask Domino's to track my order, and it'll tell you updates on your order, whether it's out for delivery or it's still being cooked, for example. You don't actually have to create the Domino's account to do the tracking. If you choose not to link a Domino's account, you can actually just ask Alexa for the order and it will ask you what the phone number you used to create that order. And so it'll find the order that way. So really interesting, you know, pizza is a big thing. Anytime there's a new technology, it seems like there's always a way to use it to order pizza. And so now with Alexa, you could do that. All right, another big new feature to Alexa is the ability to actually use Alexa to order an Uber. So again, this is a Alexa skill that you can add and enable onto both the Fire TV and the Amazon Echo. If you enable the skill, you can say, Alexa, ask Uber to get me a car. And then it'll respond with the how close the nearest car is and how long it'll get to you and ask you if you wanna book it, basically. And all you have to do is say yes, and it'll book the car for you. You can also ask it for updates on your ride and say, Alexa, how far away is my ride? With the new Uber skill for Alexa, you can specify what type of Uber you want, Uber X, Uber Black, Uber SUV, Uber XL. So you could just say, ask Uber to get me a Uber Black car. And so again, you know, I don't know how useful this is. If you're a big Uber user, you could just blurt out and ask for your Uber car to make it on its way and be good to go. Now, the nice thing about Alexa skills is pretty much they're universally available on anything that runs Alexa. And so currently that's the Amazon Echo, the Fire TV, and there are third-party devices that are coming out. And so these Alexa skills, which are kind of like apps that you know, that add more abilities onto Alexa that have been created by third parties, those pretty much work all the time. Now, on the other hand, when Amazon themselves adds in features that are built into the Echo, for example, that necessarily does not always come to the Fire TV also. And in particular, this week, Amazon announced that now the Amazon Echo supports Spotify. And so they've added that as an additional music service that the Amazon Echo supports. But unfortunately, the Fire TV does not support Spotify, even though Alexa on the Fire TV does support the other music services like Amazon Prime, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. All of those music services are available on the Amazon Fire TV through Alexa, but for whatever reason, Spotify, you know, either through their decision or through some kind of technical restriction, is not available on the Fire TV. There are Spotify apps for the Fire TV. There's two specifically. I'll put a link in the show notes. One is from Spotify, but essentially you're using a smartphone to stream the music to the Fire TV, and so you can't just use it directly on the Fire TV. But there's another app called Emma for Spotify. That's a much better app, and that will actually let you log in to your Spotify premium account on the Fire TV and stream Spotify music directly through the Fire TV without the need of your smartphone or any other device. Now, on that note, the Spotify feature on the Amazon Echo is limited to those with the paid Spotify premium account, which is kind of to be expected. Spotify, you know, basically since the service started, they've always made it so that mobile devices, for example, have to have the premium account. You can only get free listening, I believe still to this day, through their computer application only. And so if you do mobile or you do on Spotify streaming on the Echo, you have to have that premium account, which is $10 a month for access to over 30 million songs. It's one of the biggest libraries out there, if not the biggest library. And so if you want access to pretty much the biggest amount of music out there through the Amazon Echo, Spotify is definitely the way to go if you're looking for a paid service. All right, before we move into app news and the Q&A, I just want to mention for those who are either listening right now live or catch this podcast when it's posted tomorrow on Saturday, the Fire TV Stick is still currently on sale. The Fire TV Stick is $5 off right now. It's $34.99. Fire TV Stick with voice remote is $10 off, which is $39.99. And so just wanted to mention those sales are still going on right now. If you're thinking about picking up those, most likely that sale is going to end Saturday at midnight. And so, you know, you got a little bit more time if you do happen to listen to this podcast in time. I just wanted to mention that. Moving along to some app deals, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars went on sale this week. Usually it's $4.99. It's down to $1.99. This app was listed for 99 cents once before, I believe, during Black Friday, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was right around Prime Day back in July, one of those two. But it was cheaper once before, but if you missed out on that, this is the second cheapest it's ever been. It's a really fun game. Works really well on the Fire TV because it's kind of a top-down version of a Grand Theft Auto game as opposed to a first-person version, which I think, you know, works nicely with the Fire TV and the Fire TV's capabilities. And so pick that up if you're interested. Link in the show notes, of course, to everything I talk about, you know, including this app. All right, last up before we move on to the Q&A section of the podcast, I did want to mention that this game, Rummy Cub, has been released for the Fire TV. It's a really old game. It used to be available kind of in a board game style, but now there's a digital version that you can play on the Fire TV. It's a cross between Rummy and Mahjong. Looks interesting if you're looking for kind of a family-friendly game, slow-paced game to try out on your Fire TV. It works for all Fire TV models, new and old. Fire TV Box, Fire TV Stick, and you don't need a game controller for this. So just wanted to put that out there, a new game that was released this week. All right, let's move into questions and answers. Every week on Thursdays, I put up a post on AFTVnews.com asking people to submit their questions for me to answer here on the podcast. Of course, those watching live can always tweet me live at AFTVnews. I'll take questions live, and we've already got one here waiting, and we'll probably get a few more as we get into the Q&A section. All right, first question here is from Ilya on Twitter. He says, have you heard anything about improved performance for Fire TV devices? I'm curious since we've moved from Dalvik to Arc. So Ilya is referring to the Fire OS 5 update. I have not heard anything about performance from other sources. Myself, actually, when the Fire TV Stick with a voice remote was released, it shipped with Fire OS 5, and the older voice remote still had Fire OS 3. So I actually ran both of those through a series of benchmarks just to see if there was actually any raw number performance changes between the two Fire OS versions, since one was based on Android version 4.2.2, the other one, the new one, is based on Android version 5.1, and pretty much dead even. The two devices have the same hardware, so the only difference was the OS, and I saw no difference from the numbers. I ran Geek Benchmark and a few others, and pretty much they came back on par. Not that that doesn't mean you won't see a performance difference when you're actually using the device, you know, as an actual user interface goes. You know, these benchmarks really just tax the CPU and tax the GPU and that sort of stuff. And so it's more hardware related than software, those benchmarks, that is. They're not definitive proof that the new OS doesn't improve performance, but it's probably pretty safe to say that performance is going to just stay on par with the new OS. All right, next question here is from DJ1. He says, when will the routing guide be ready for RBox's method? And we got several people, someone who's watching live and chatting with me on Twitter here. Also DeanR1977 and Y314K. But yeah, a lot of people asking about this. And I'll give you a little exclusive for the podcast only. You know, I'm not going to post about this, so only those listening to the podcast will get this info. But basically, just the other day, Arbok sent me his whole method, his recovery for the Fire TV 2, his pre-rooted ROM for the Fire TV 2, and I've been running it through its paces, seeing if there are any issues, kind of, you know, doing a little bit of testing for him, giving him feedback on that. And so his plan is to release it this coming week. I don't know when exactly. The reason I haven't posted about this or you know, on the actual main site is because I don't want to pressure him. You know, he does this in his free time. And anytime I make a post, then we get people asking for it and asking when is it going to be released. You know, so I didn't want to put that pressure on him any more so than I already have. I always make sure to get his approval that it's okay for me to post about the information that he tells me. And so he's always okay with it. But, you know, I just didn't want to put that pressure on him. So I'll just mention it here on the podcast since it's a smaller audience and you guys get a bit of an exclusive here. So to comment on that, I ran through his method. It worked almost flawlessly. You know, in the end, I ended up with a Fire TV 2 that's rooted very simply. The whole thing took about like maybe 5 minutes or so compared to 2 hours with the old method. So it literally took 5 minutes to do the transfer of the custom OS changes, the custom recovery on the second gen Fire TV over the USB cable. Whereas on the current rooting method, it takes 2 hours or so. And then there's a big chance something will go wrong in the middle there. Either your computer goes to sleep or something, you know, gets messed up over that time. So yeah, the method basically is you connect the Fire TV to a PC with a A-to-A USB cable. Of course, I'm going to have a full guide on this. I've already started to work on that guide. So hopefully I actually have it out the day that Arbok is ready to actually release everything. So you connect the A-to-A cable. You basically run his script. It basically handles everything for you. It handles the communication. It finds the right port. It transfers the file over. And then when you're done with that, you basically plug in a USB flash drive with the appropriate files, reboot the Fire TV, and then you're basically in recovery. And then from there, you basically install pre-rooted ROM and you're good to go. It's totally simple, much easier than the current method that's out there. Even though it uses pretty much the same method to do the rooting, it does it in a slightly different way, a more efficient way, a lot safer way. And so really good to see that he finally got that finished and really excited to get that out there. So yeah, again, we should see the actual final release this coming week. Don't hold him to that. There might be some issues. I did find some issues myself that he's probably going to need to address. They're not major issues. Again, I ended up with a rooted Fire TV 2. It worked just fine. Once the FireOS 5.0.5 software update arrives on one of my devices, I'll be able to get him that URL. And so he'll be able to create the ROM for FireOS 5.0.5. And most likely he's going to release the pre-rooted stuff for the second gen Fire TV first, and then he'll work on the first gen Fire TV because that's going to need also a custom recovery redone for that. And he's waiting on the final FireOS 5 software update to be released and for him to get his hands on it before he finalizes the first gen stuff. But so first gen owners, you're not left in the dark. Just hold tight. You'll have a update with Keeping Root on the first gen Fire TV out soon also. All right, next question here is from Robert Simmendel. He says, since the second gen Fire TVs can't use the USB port for apps, will the first gen Fire TVs with updated software not be able to either? No, absolutely not. That won't be the case. So first gen Fire TVs with the new FireOS 5.0.5 software update will still be able to move apps over to USB external storage. The second gen Fire TV can only move apps to the micro SD card. Now, I think that was just a decision by Amazon so that it doesn't confuse customers with two different options on the second gen Fire TV. Since you do have the USB port and the micro SD card slot, I think they just decided, keep it simple, make it so that the micro SD card slot on the second gen Fire TV is the one where you move apps to, and don't let it happen on the USB drive. But the first gen Fire TV, you're still gonna be able to move apps over to USB drives. All right, next question here is from Sam. He says, the feature I want most is to be able to search only within the movies I've purchased from Amazon. I've tried adding, quote, in my library, end quote, and other variations of that when I use voice search, but it doesn't work. Is there a way to search just my library on the Fire TV? If not, is there a technical reason why it's not possible? Because it seems like that would be an obvious feature to have. No, Sam, there is no way to search just within your library. And yes, actually, there is a technical reason why that is the case. It's because when you do a search on the Fire TV, that search is done actually in the cloud on Amazon servers. It's not done locally on the device itself. So whether it's voice search or whether it's text search, basically your search request goes up to Amazon servers. Amazon servers figures out the result, and then it sends that result list to the Fire TV, and then that gets displayed for you. And all that happens, you know, in a second or two, basically. It all happens very quickly. And so the technical reason why you can't search within your own library is because your library is specific to your account. And when Amazon does the search on the server, it can only do a search for a database that's kind of global to everybody. And so everybody shares that database of movies and TV shows that Amazon offers through the Fire TV. This is also how services like Showtime and Hulu and Crackle, they integrate their library into the Fire TV search by providing Amazon a database of their content. And Amazon incorporates that into their global searchable database. And so when you do a search, it actually looks at all of those different sources all at once and then sends back the results. And so it doesn't know which movies you have purchased. I mean, they do know, and technically, yes, they can add it in and give the Fire TV the ability to search within your own library. But I believe the reason they haven't done that is because it would slow down the search results. Because first they would have to figure out if you were actually asking for only your own content. And if you were, they would have to then look up your account, pull in a new database, then do the search, and then send it down. And that would slow things down probably considerably. You know, that doesn't say it's not going to come later on. I mean, they can make improvements, they could do changes. Maybe they would handle something like that locally on the device. Who knows? But that's pretty much why you can't really search only within your own library or your own content using either the voice search or the text search on the Fire TV. Next question here is from Jay Fire. He asks, whatever happened to Fling? For those who don't know, Fling is Amazon's kind of casting service, similar to the Chromecast or Google Cast and Apple's AirPlay. It's the ability to basically send video and music and photos from a mobile device or a tablet to the Fire TV. And so they call it Amazon Fling. They announced it last year. Basically, you know, nothing so much has happened to it. It's still there. It's still supported on the Fire TV, but it's really up to developers to add it into their apps. And so all Amazon can do is basically create the API and create the instructions and make it easy for developers to incorporate it into their apps. But it's really up to developers to add it in. And so if there's like an app that you wish had Fling, you should contact that developer and tell them you wish your app supported Amazon Fling. And there are already some apps who support it. If you do like a search in iTunes or in Google's Play Store for the word Fling or Amazon Fling, you'll get a little bit of a list. It's a little tough to uncover apps that add that support, because usually it's not even a feature that's listed. App developers will just add it in, but it's still there. It's still available. It's just, you know, hasn't gotten the adoption from developers as much as a lot of us would have liked. All right, next question's here from Ray. First question, he says, the issue I mentioned to you via email that I encountered with the Wiimote and Wii Gamepad, could they be to do with using an old exposed framework? What's the most updated version? I don't know off the top of my head of the most updated exposed framework that works with the Fire TV. I know the older exposed framework does not work with FireOS 5 that well. And I plan to definitely look into exposed framework once the FireOS 5 update has kind of reached all the devices, just to kind of figure out whether it's still supported there. As far as it being due to exposed not working with the Wiimote and the Wii Gamepad, I doubt that's the case. I don't know for sure. I can't really comment any further on that, but I really don't think that it's going to have to do with the exposed framework. All right, Ray's next question is, I've seen on XDA that FireOS 5.0.4 on the Fire TV has added extra support for the Xbox 360 wireless gamepad, I'm guessing through the USB dongle. If that's the case, I suppose that the same support should be added to the Fire TV one with FireOS 5.0.5, right? Or is it at the kernel level, and being a different system on a chip means different kernel and therefore means different support instructions and implementations? So Ray, I don't really have experience with the 360 controller myself, and I actually haven't come across the XDA thread that you're talking about, where people are talking about the new additions to Fire OS 5 for the 360 controller. I'll definitely look into that for sure. Thanks for pointing that out to me. I do know that I saw somebody on XDA created a kind of a kernel patch or a kernel plugin for the Xbox One controller. So that kind of adds support to the second gen Fire TV. So, but I know that is definitely specific to that device's kernel, and so it won't work for the first gen Fire TV. Sorry, I can't help more with the Xbox 360 question, but I'll definitely look into it and maybe write a post about it. All right, third question from Ray is, I've seen a few people using EPSXe on the Fire TV and also the Droid emulators like NES Droid, NEO Droid, etc., stating good results. Do you reckon it's a possibility, or would you call BS on their statements, or would you say it depends on ROM quality / GPU needs? As for emulators, I am planning once FireOS 5.0.5 rolls out, I do want to do some in-depth ROM testing on the new OS, both with the new and the old device. So I'll have better answers to this question at that point. But for now, you know, I wouldn't call BS. If people are having good experience, then, you know, I think it's probably true. But with ROMs, a lot of times it depends a lot even on the game that you're playing. Some games will perform really well, whereas others will be pretty bad. So if one person says a certain emulator is working great for them, it might just be that they're playing a game that's working pretty well, whereas another person might have a lot of issues because of the actual ROM, the actual game that they're using. The Fire TV definitely has enough power, I think, for the PlayStation emulator. That's what this EPSXe emulator that Ray is talking about is. It's a PlayStation emulator. I think the Fire TV definitely has enough power for that, but a lot of times these emulators are not written at that efficiently, and so that's usually the bottleneck, though, is the code, is the actual emulator itself can't take advantage of all that power that the Fire TV has. So again, hopefully down the line, not anytime really soon, but definitely down the line, I plan to do a big look through of all the different emulators that are available for the Fire TV and maybe put a nice round out post for it. Next question from Ben. He says, if you did the preview thing, will you still get the update? Ben's referring to the developer preview for the first gen Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. He's asking, I guess, if you signed up and received that developer preview, will you still be updated to the latest 5.0.5 final public version of FireOS 5? I don't have an answer to that, unfortunately. I would imagine, you know, that you will receive the final official update. You won't just be stuck on that developer preview forever. I would say give it about 2 weeks. If by 2 weeks from now you still haven't received that FireOS 5.0.5 update, go ahead and use the rollback option on Amazon's website to roll back to the previous software update. It's very possible that when you receive the rollback, you'll actually receive the 5.0.5 update. Now, this is, again, in 2 weeks. So if you roll back right now, you're probably going to receive the older FireOS 3 update. You won't receive FireOS 5. Next question is from AxeCaster. They say, is there a way to prevent Amazon from force updating apps from their app store like there is in the Google Play Store settings? Or maybe there is a way to freeze or disable the process on rooted boxes? Yeah, AxeCaster, there's actually a setting built right into the Fire TV under the settings menu. I think it's in the app store section, or the apps/app store section of the settings menu in the Fire TV. There's an option right there where you can tick off automatic updates. And so basically when you tick that off, your app, just before you launch it, at the bottom, there'll be a button that says an update is available, and you can click that button to manually install the update. I'll put a link in the show notes to a guide on how to manually update apps. And so, but yeah, you don't have to do any kind of weird disabling of processes or rooting the device. This is actually a feature that's built into the Fire TV where you can disable automatic updates for apps. Next question from Jim. He says, I have a question about rooting. So I've updated to latest operating system. Do I still need to stop auto update on my end, even if I plan to give the Fire TV 2 to a friend of mine in a few weeks so he can root it himself? Or should I update and then stop auto update on my end, then give it to him in a few weeks? Jim, so I think what you're asking is, if you update a second gen Fire TV but don't root it, give it to your friend for them to root it, should you be blocking updates? If you're going to connect that device to your network after you've updated it, you should definitely block updates, because we don't know if FireOS 5.0.5 is going to block the rooting method for the second gen Fire TV. So definitely, whether you update the Fire TV or not, you should be blocking updates if you're going to continue to have it connected to your own network. Now, when you give it to your friend, even though it's already updated to 5.0.4, it's still going to try to update itself to 5.0.5 once he connects it to the network. So he should definitely block updates through his router before connecting that device if he plans to root it. So yeah, definitely block updates on the router, both yourself and for your friend, if either of you are going to connect that device to the network after it has already updated to 5.0.4. Next question here is from Lewis. He says, where do you get the info about what will be new on Amazon Netflix the next month? Is there a place where I can see the total content of Amazon Prime Video? I pretty much just get it from the web, from different sources. A lot of big blogs, a lot of big sites will basically post the what's coming to Netflix or what's coming to Amazon Prime posts. And what I'll usually do is I'll gather the list from three or four of those sites and compare them to each other just to make sure they're accurate and nobody has anything that's wrong on there. That's pretty much where I get it from. And, you know, that's where I post it. As far as actually seeing a list of all Amazon Prime videos, pretty much Amazon.com's website's the only place you can get that. There's really no other source for that. And Amazon doesn't really make it easy to uncover their entire library, their entire list. But, you know, that's pretty much your best bet. Next question from Lewis. He says, my first gen AFTV is not updated yet to OS 5. Do you know when would be the latest mine will be updated? Guess I am late in the update cycle. I can't wait to play around with Alexa and control my home smart devices. It's tough to say, but generally from when we first see the update start to roll out, I would say the 2-week mark is probably when all devices have received the update. You know, that is, of course, if Amazon doesn't stop the update due to an issue, which has happened in the past. But so far, it seems like this update is still rolling out. It seems like there aren't any issues. And so I would say 2 weeks from now is probably the latest that these devices would get this update. Next question here is from Ray on Twitter. He says, is there a way to hijack the voice button for voice search in Kodi? Pretty much no. The way the voice search works is the Fire TV will record your voice locally, compress that, send it off to Amazon servers. Amazon servers will do the analysis of that, and then it'll send back the response. It won't actually send back the text of what you said. It actually sends back the response. So if it's a actual search, it'll actually send back the search results. It won't actually send back the text that you actually spoke and said in your search. So even if you could hijack it and intercept it, you would get back the result of your search, not the actual transcript of what you said. And so you would need that transcript to actually, you know, kind of plug into Kodi's search. So pretty much no, there's no way to hijack that, you know, for use within other apps other than Amazon purposes. Next question here is on Twitter from Min. He asks, have you seen any first gen Fire TV sticks getting the update? I haven't seen definitive proof, meaning from somebody posting a screenshot, but I have seen people tweet me asking questions about them getting the update on the first gen Fire TV stick. I have seen people commenting that they've gotten the update on the Fire TV stick. So while I haven't actually seen real proof, I have seen people commenting about it. So it definitely looks like this update is coming to the first gen Fire TV sticks in addition to the newer voice remote Fire TV sticks and both first and second gen Fire TVs. All right, next question from Mark Venture. He asks, having both first and second gen Fire TVs in my house, I found some apps not available for one or the other, like Watch ABC, for example, available for the first gen, but not the second gen. If it's an OS limit, will the app break when my first gen Fire TV gets upgraded to OS 5? So I don't know for sure the answer to this question, but my guess would be most likely no, it would not break, but a lot of times the reason these apps are not compatible with the new update has to do with DRM issues. So for apps like Watch ABC or any big network or any big content provider, DRM is really important for them. And the DRM, which is the copy protection that the apps use, is really caked into the OS of the Fire TV. It's not actually just within the app. And so these apps have to actually verify with the Fire TV that the Fire TV supports their version of DRM and that everything is secure and that they can show the content. And so if there's a mismatch in DRM, then it's likely the app, while it will load and you'll be able to navigate through it, when you try to hit play, you might see an error because it won't be able to know for sure that the DRM is working correctly once it gets updated. With Watch ABC specifically, I have a feeling that Amazon made some deal with Disney slash ABC to create that app. And I have a feeling that deal did not extend to updates. And so that's probably why they haven't bothered updating. We'll have to wait and see whether they actually push an update for that app, since it is one of the big networks. I would think they would eventually push an update out, since all the other networks like Fox and ABC and CBS are all supporting the new OS. And so really it's in their favor to support it, unless they've got some kind of conflict going on with Amazon that we don't know about, that's kind of behind the scenes. But for the most part, if an app isn't listed to work with Fire OS 5, if you already have it currently installed on your first gen Fire TV, when it updates, it should keep working. But DRM is kind of that biggest issue there, where DRM does change from generation to generation. So if anything breaks it's going to be that. Again, I can't know for sure, but we'll have to just wait and see. All right, next question here is from Eddie. He says, Silk browser for Fire TV? ? My answer to that is probably very unlikely. Silk browser is Amazon's web browser that they put on their Fire tablets and the Fire phone. I'm assuming he's asking, is it going to come to the Fire TV? I haven't heard anything, but I would think 99% very unlikely that it's going to come to the Fire TV, just because a web browser through a remote control on a TV is a really bad experience just in general. Nobody's really gotten it right. That's why you don't really see a web browser included on any of the big set-top boxes. And so, again, it's very unlikely. Next question here is from FASFA. They say, what happened to the app that turned Fire TVs into a Chromecast receiver? Are there other apps that can do the same thing? I'll put a link in the show notes to this app, the articles that I wrote about this app, and the article that I wrote about Google basically pulling this app from Amazon. So there was this app that was created. It made its way into the official Amazon App Store and basically added Chromecast receiving capabilities to the Fire TV. And unfortunately, Google actually had it pulled from the Amazon App Store, and most likely probably, you know, sent a bit of a nasty letter to the developer. So that's why it no longer exists. I know the developer said that the app was going to keep working until the end of 2015, and now the year has passed, so that app is just not working anymore. So nothing to say there. Basically, it was probably using some proprietary code or some proprietary something from Google, and they didn't want that being used by other parties, and so they pulled it. All right, last question here is from Y314K. He says, on the update guide for the rooted first-gen Fire TVs, will there be updates for SuperSU, Exposed Framework, or any Play Store or Google System app files that we install after root? The reason why I ask is that for some of us, the old SuperSU won't open as an app after a reboot. You can only trigger it through ADB, or if an app requests root access, I remember RBox mentioning something about it. But I wonder if once updated to 5.0.5, a new version of SuperSU will run better. I guess I am asking if the update guide will be full all parts updated guide, or will it just be for the ROM itself? I would like to keep root, but update everything and do a factory reset since it's a major update. For the first gen Fire TV, I assume RBox has kind of figured out what's going on with SuperSU and that the one that he includes with his pre-rooted ROM. And so I imagine that SuperSU specifically will work just fine on the new 5.0.5 pre-rooted ROM for the first gen Fire TV that RBox releases soon in the coming weeks. As far as Exposed Framework and the Play Store and the Google System apps, I will definitely be looking into those myself. That's not something RBox himself is going to be releasing. I will be testing out the different Exposed Framework versions and the different versions of the Google Play Store on Fire OS 5, and hopefully releasing guides for those to see what's working, what's not working. They won't be part of the initial guide. So the initial guide that I'm going to write for first-gen Fire TV rooted owners to get updated to 5.0.5, that guide will basically be just installing the TWRP custom recovery that replaces the Clockwork Mod custom recovery. So that'll be the first step of the guide. And then it will be basically installing the pre-rooted 5.0.5 ROM for the first-gen Fire TV. So it'll kind of be the two-parter guide mixed into one, most likely. But it won't include stuff about the Play Store. It won't include stuff about Exposed. That stuff is a whole nother story. It's a whole nother guide and a whole nother article. So I'm definitely planning to look into it. It's going to be a slow thing coming, because there's a lot of work to do once everything gets updated to 5.0.5, figuring out what hacks stopped working, what mods are still working, that sort of stuff. But I do plan to look into them as I have time. All right, that'll conclude the 25th episode of the AFTV Newscast podcast thing that I do every week. As always, I stream live every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. I welcome anybody who can watch live. But of course, if you can't, you can always get the podcast after the fact through the RSS feed for the audio-only version, through TuneIn, through iTunes, through Stitcher, a whole bunch of different podcast clients. You can find me in there. Soon I'll be available on the Google Play podcast section that's going to be launching soon. So find it there. Of course, you can find the video version on YouTube. I highly recommend you watch the video version. I think you get a lot more out of it. I like to show things off, pictures and that sort of stuff while I'm talking about things. So if you are watching the video version on YouTube, please hit that like button if you did like the podcast and you did enjoy it. Those are always very much appreciated. As always, I'll see you next week.